Well, when we started collaborating with the Division of Vital Statistics at NCHS in 2008, it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
And I didn't know very much about vital statistics, vital registration or anything. I worked in a hospital before, and of course we had the births and we had the deaths. But all the intricacies of vital registration, I've learned a lot over the past 3 years. What I'm going to talk to you about today is pretty much the initiatives, the HL7 initiatives per se, that NCHS, the Division of Vital Statistics, have been working on with our collaboration. I'm going to go into mainly the vital records functional profile. To do that, I would give you an overview, the second bullet there, of the electronic health record system functional model, and delve into the functional profile, and then a little bit of a recent activity that we have been involved in with the Public Health Data Standards Consortium on development of a public health functional profile. As Delton has already painted the landscape, I'm not going through too much of this slide, but we already have established national standards for vital records. We've got the U.S. Standard Certificate of Live Birth, the U.S. Standard Certificate of Death, and the U.S. Standard Report of Fetal Death. If you really analyze, especially that birth and fetal death report, there's a lot of health and medical information on that are already inherited in electronic health records. In fact, half of all the data items on those two documents are obtained from the mothers and infants' medical records. And then with all the activities to develop and implement the EHRs within this environment, activities to support national standards for meaningful use, it is just the right timing, we think, to start laying the foundation for standardizing vital records transmission, exchange, capture, exchange, transmission of vital records data. And that's the birth, death, and fetal death events. So just a little bit, I don't know if I need to even tell anybody what HL7 is all about, but HL7 is the standards development organization that we work with. It actually is an international development organization, and basically to create standards. We meet in a lot of different work groups, and I will tell you which work group we've been dealing with our projects. And if you look at the mission, it really identifies the goal of interoperability, the goal of developing standards to improve care delivery, optimize workflow, reduce ambiguity, and enhance knowledge transfer. These are three of the activities in specific that we've been working on at NCHS. I will describe the first two just a little bit, and then the last one is really the focus of this presentation. So the first one is the development of a domain analysis model. This model fairly much identifies the actors involved, the data that is collected, the activities that's done during vital registration, the workflow, the different stakeholders involved. It paints a representation of the whole vital registration system from which we can really look at to develop other standards, to develop where we want to see the exchange of information and the capture of information. The status of this is that it has already been approved by HL7. It has been published as an informative standard, so it's out there for us to reference. The second is the V251 Death Reporting Implementation Guide that describes the transmission of death-related information from clinical settings to the Vital Statistics Registry. And that has already been approved by HL7. We've gone through a ballot cycle and comments. Presently, we just need to update the documents, modify the documents based on our comments, and get the document ready for publishing. So that would be available as an implementation guide. The third one is really the focus of the electronic health record system in terms of capturing the data for vital records. And this is the development of an EHRS, electronic health record system, vital records functional profile, which would define the functional requirements for capturing the vital records data at the point of contact or the point of care. Now, what is the EHRS system functional model? It's a superset of functions, about 1,200, I think, functions and criteria that are in a document that identifies everything fairly well of what that EHR system shall do, should do, or may do in terms of many different healthcare settings. It's a generic document from which a subset of that functions and criteria can be generated for a specific healthcare domain. The standard is consensus-based, it's internationally oriented, but we, when developing the vital records functional profile, have deemed that a U.S. realm profile. And it does create a common platform for providers, vendors, stakeholders, different partners to describe functionality of the EHR system. Here is just an idea of what it looks like, the functional model at a glance. It consists of three chapters. There's a direct care chapter, a supportive services chapter, and an information infrastructure chapter. These are subdivided into, like you can see the very first one, I wouldn't go through everything, but the very first one is a DC 1, 2, and 3. And the direct care chapter mainly provides the functional requirements for a provider who is doing direct care to a patient. Then the supportive care chapter provides the decision support, the outcomes measurement, the clinical research and reports, and financial administrative functions. And then there's the information infrastructure chapter that identifies the requirements of security, records management, and business rules for the system operation. This is an idea of what the functional model looks like. There's an ID number. I had shown you DC 1. This is a DC 111 ID number. There is a name that's identify and maintain a patient record. Then we describe the have a description and a statement, and then go into the conformance criteria. And if you look at, I'll just keep this up for just a little bit. Number one says the system shall create a single logical record for each patient. So they're very concise statements of single activity that could be easily tested and for the functional requirements. And the second one is the system shall provide the ability to create a record for a patient when the identity of the patient is unknown. But these are very generic, and from this, a system does not really conform to the model, but conforms to a profile that has been developed from the model that is specific for whatever healthcare setting that you're interested in. So we're creating the vital records functional profile, which is a subset of that functional model. It is specifically for the domain of vital records. Therefore, it's going to specify the functional requirements that will facilitate capturing that vital records data at the point of care, the point of contact, and the specific data that could be utilized to populate jurisdictional vital records systems. We started the project in 2008, and it is supported and by funding from NCHS, sponsored by, I told you there were several work groups, there are many work groups within HL7. So this project was sponsored by the EHR work group and the Public Health and Emergency Response work group. We formed a committee, we call it a Vital Records Functional Profile Work Group. This was inclusive of representatives from the NASIS, from different federal and state and local organizations, vital records representatives, EHR experts, vital records system developers. We had healthcare providers and different subject matter experts. We had an expert from the HL7 EHR work group working along with us also. And we didn't start this just from, okay, we really want to create a vital records function profile, so let's try to map this out and see what vital records needs. We started this from reviewing business cases and different documents that were already done, that were already being utilized in vital records. We map those functional requirements to the EHR's functional model. Then after that, we map the birth, death, and fetal death edit specifications, and these specifications would identify exactly the kind of data that needs to be captured, how it needs to be captured, what format is necessary for vital registration. And so we mapped all of these to the functional model. And here is an idea of one data item, and I'll show you how we map this through the process to become a functional requirement. This is from the live birth, the certificate of live birth, and this is a requirement for prenatal care information. There's the requirement for obtaining the date of the first prenatal care visit. We need to have the month, the day, and the year. The year's got to be in four digits. And if there was no prenatal care visit, that little box, the checkbox there, needs to be checked. That says no prenatal care visit. And then we also need the date of the last prenatal care visit, the month, date, and year. So that's the form, that's what we need as our information for vital records. Therefore, when we got to creating the functional profile, with that requirement, we really actually looked through the whole model. Is there anything that pertains there to prenatal care, or, you know, the date of the first prenatal care and the date of the last prenatal care? There was nothing. In fact, we created this complete function because there's nothing right now in the functional model that provides this requirement. So we created a new function called Manage Mother's Prenatal Care Information for Vital Records. With our work group discussions, we developed a statement, we developed a description. The statement is mainly Manage Mother's Prenatal Care Information, and the description was taken from the documents, the birth certificate documents and the edit specification documents. So these are really very closely relate to those documents that are already standards. The conformance criteria that we developed, number one, is the system shall provide the ability to capture the dates of mother's first and last prenatal care visits as specified in the NCHS NAFCIS edit specs. And we decided to go ahead and put that tagline to everything that is really specifically necessary for vital records. So vendors, when they're developing their systems, would know that this is, you know, specific for vital records. And they would be able to go back to these documents if there are any updates to different versions or anything that they need to research any further for developing this function, they can go back to that document. Number two is, if the mother has no prenatal care visit, then the fields for the dates of the first and the last prenatal care visits can be left blank. And these are the requirements of those edit specifications. And number three, which I didn't put so many there because I didn't want the slide to be really small, there's another one that indicates that you need to put a little indicator at that checkbox if the patient had no prenatal care. So these are very, very specific requirements for vital records. The current status of the project, we began, like I said, the conference calls in 2008. And in October 2010, it was balloted at HL7 with public comments. We reconciled the ballots. We modified the documents. We re-balloted it in May of this year. And the purpose for re-balloting, and I would go into this in a little bit later, is we had added some of the public health functional profile criteria into the vital records functional profile. So because we added new information that folks had not seen before, we had to re-ballot that. So at the moment, we've already resolved the comments that came back in. Our documents are ready to be published and will be has already been approved by the EHR work group. We need to take them for approval to the Public Health and Emergency Response Work Group and then submit them for publishing. So this project is fairly well wrapped up, I would think, and would be there as a standard, as an informative standard for reference. So the next step, as Delton said, is very, very important for us to start seeking certification of these systems. So we're looking at the different activities and different things that we would need to do to bring this to the certification bodies and hopefully to have this serve as a framework for developing EHR systems that would contain vital records functionality. And as the second bullet there, we're including this. This is vital records is a domain of public health. We're including this into what we're developing at the moment, a public health functional profile. And really, the public health functional profile idea, I think, came from a lot of our learning from developing the vital records functional profile. We thought if we can do this for vital records, public health really would benefit from a public health functional profile that includes the different domains of public health. So we've collaborated with the Public Health Data Standards Consortium, and the public health functional profile is looking at including the requirements of an EHR system, requirements of public health that would support the clinical information exchange for specific public health programs. And this is by no means, I mean, it specifies vital records, early hearing detection and intervention, cancer registries, but it by no means is inclusive of just those. And we'll go into this a little bit further. What we're hoping is that this would serve as an overarching public health functional profile from which a lot of different domains in public health can develop their profiles. And so it should be able to contain common functionality throughout the different domains of public health that's identified, yet the unique functional requirements for the different public health domains. This is a representation. Oh, let me see if I get the... There we go. Okay, this is a representation of some domains, and these are some of the domains that have come to a table with resources to be able to start reviewing and the interest to review the functional model. And so what we see is that there are commonalities among the different domains of public health, so we can have a common set of functional requirements along with specific requirements for the different domains. By no means is it a comprehensive representation of all public health functions. It's fairly well just limited at this point to the domains that I've mentioned that have actually shown interest in working with us to develop their domain. And we would hope that this is going to be expandable to include any domain of interest as long as we come to a table and start working with us to expand this profile. And it by no means is a public health information system functional model, because this is an EHR system public health requirements profile. What we're hoping this would do too is to serve as a reference for certification of the EHR systems that would include the functionality not only for vital records, but functionality for different systems, early hearing detection intervention as one of them. And it could also lay the foundation for developing a public health information system functional model, because we can take functions and criteria that are applicable to a public health information system functional model, modify them, and or incorporate what needs to be incorporated into that functional model too. So here I show just a little picture of what we think of is a vision or possibilities of the future that we can develop the profiles. And I think that is my last slide, but I want to say one more thing to, and this is with the EHRS functional model at the moment, because the base standard is the EHRS functional model. At this present time, it is undergoing a reorganization. We're developing a release 2 of the model. And I've been fairly well involved in that process. And what I'd like to say is, with the reorganization, like I told you, there's a direct here, there's a supportive services, and there's an information infrastructure. Now, we are reorganizing it to become... We have the direct care also, but one of the chapters are going to be population health, which would be inclusive of public health, outcomes measurements, clinical data quality, clinical research, but mostly to do with the health of the population. And that model is due for release, I think, maybe April or May of next year. It would be really good if public health can review that model, because especially everything that's been scattered throughout the model that's been related to public health is now in one chapter. And I think that's a really good advancement for public health to be able to look at that model and even look at our functional profile and see how we can really add to that review process and that model too. So thank you, and I'll give it to Laurie.